You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1645. On today's show, we chat with Kate and Destiny from 777 Rescue and Rehabilitation about what it takes to help rescued horses return to health and find responsible homes. Brought to you today by Sentinel Horse Nutrition. And I'm so happy to invite back to the show Stacy Toppin, who is the territory sales manager for Sentinel Horse Nutrition. And she has brought along some interesting folks that we're going to get to know today, Kate and Destiny. And they are the director and assistant director of 777 Rescue and Rehabilitation in New Jersey. Welcome, everybody, to the show.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much.
I think we're going to get started today with who is 777 Rescue and Rehabilitation and how did it get started? Who's going to answer that one for me?
Well, I can answer that one. So 777 Rescue and Rehab is based out of Elmer, New Jersey. We're a smaller rescue. Our parent farm is Rosewood Stables. We event, we do a lot of young horses. It's kind of chaotic around here, but it's a lot of fun. 777 was started by the two of us. What year was it, Des?
2022.
Basically to help local horses and animals in need to rehab, retrain, and rehabilitate.
Was there one horse in particular? Was there an event or an experience in particular that made you both say, we need to start a proper organization to do this?
Yeah. So before 777 was an official rescue, Kate and I had always been involved in the rescue world unofficially. But in 2022, we were involved in a very large neglect case local to us. And that's where we took in our first official rescue from under 777. But that's also kind of the force that pushed us to start our own official rescue.
And was there a particular horse involved in it, or was it just the experience overall?
So not really one horse. I mean, like I said, we'd taken in horses for many years before this. This particular rescue case was such a large, there was over 100 animals that had survived, and there was probably at least that hadn't survived out of this whole case. So we ended up working it for about 2 weeks with a couple of other rescue friends of ours that have their own organizations. And then there was this little tiny mini mule. His name's Queso. He's an absolute terrorist, very cute. He's about 8 hands high, Cremello, blue eyes. And he was one of the horses that, you know, needed to find placement at this particular case. He was in a field with no trees, no water, no shelter, no shade, nothing.
In the middle of July, might I add, almost 100 degrees.
Yeah, it was boiling hot. And he looked so pathetic out there. They all did, right? It was so many horses. And it was a bit overwhelming because there was just so many of these horses at this particular case. Like sometimes you go and there's only 2 horses. But looking at 100 different animals all staring at you is a bit much. But anyway, he's the one that kind of ended up coming back with us, and he was unhandled. He was feral. He was fairly aggressive, actually. And he had sores all over his legs with like bugs and maggots living in them. So he was a bit of a hot mess when he came. But he was kind of the one that, you know, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, well, I guess we're getting into this deep now. We might as well make it an official thing, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. So at what point did you and Stacy get together and form a team? Because nutrition is an important part of these horses coming back to life, basically, and making their way back into permanent responsible homes.
It was when we went to the nutrition event
that you guys hosted.
I think that was it. It was like one of those nighttime nutrition events. And then I was saying how good our horses were looking on your feed. And then we kind of started working together from there, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I was trying to remember exactly how we all got together. And I couldn't remember. It's been a few years now.
I feel like we've been friends now.
When we first came out, we basically kind of looked at your horses and I think you guys kind of touched a point for me, because prior to this career, I was in rescue work as well. So it just kind of like touched me on a different level, I guess, you know, got, you know, it's just important what you guys were doing and you're so passionate about it that I, you know, really wanted to try and work with you and help the horses that you had there too.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. All of your help.
So whenever you get a horse in, I'm going to ask Kate this one. Whenever you get a horse in as a rescue, at what point during their intake, I'm going to say intake, do you start to look deeply at their feeding schedule, at what nutrition you're giving them? Is that something that you do straight away? What's the what happens? What's the process there?
So really, that's one of kind of the first things that we look at when something comes in. I mean, obviously, the first thing we look at is if there's any giant wounds that need to get taken care of, because you really never know when something comes in. But right off the bat, especially with the, you know, more emaciated ones, it's really a concern immediately of how to feed them properly, how to feed them safely, because you can't just go throwing a bunch of different stuff at them to try to put weight on them. So for us, that's kind of one of the first things we look at and, you know, evaluate what they need, how much they need, and what a proper protocol would kind of look like for each individual horse, because a lot of them are so different. You know, you get a little mini in versus, you know, a taller, bigger, heavier thoroughbred. It's a bit different to feed them.
I imagine a rescue horse that is your average young adult at 6 or 7 years old who has fallen on hard times and has received poor nutrition for an extended period of time is going to have very different needs to something that's maybe in its late teens or early 20s, but maybe has that same body condition. Maybe, Stacy, could you address how choosing the right feed, even when you're in these rescue situations where horses are being refed, choosing the one that is appropriate for the horse's condition and age group could make a difference?
Sure. When you're, you know, when you're getting horses of unknown background, you don't know what kind of forage they've had or if they've had any. You know, so one of the first things we want to look at is making sure we get that gut right, you know, do a slow refeeding type of program with a lot of forage to kind of start the process off. And we have a really great, Sentinel makes a great gastric support supplement that kind of treats the total GI tract. So a lot of times when I'm going into a special case like this or a horse that's having trouble, you know, we'll put them on a course of that gastric support to just kind of help get the gut, get it right, settle it down a little bit, help mitigate some of the stress that horse might be under. You know, the digestive tract is really sensitive to stress, and that's also where a large part of the immune system is. So if we can kind of work on lowering that stress, minimizing concerns there, and just try to facilitate an easier transition to a new environment and recovery from like that stressful event, that's kind of how I start the process. And then we slowly kind of introduce, you know, like Kate was saying, you don't want to introduce too much feed too fast. So we just kind of, you know, slowly introduce a product. And we got to look at the horse. Do they have any dental issues? When was the last time their teeth were floated? Are we worried about metabolic concerns, Cushing's, anything like that? So we always take those into consideration when, you know, trying to pick the appropriate feed for each individual horse.
Exactly. So picking the right feed for each horse, each as an individual, seems to apply regardless of whether it's a competition horse, your average weekend warrior who maybe shows but doesn't do much else, or a trail horse, or a rescue horse. That seems to apply across the board.
Absolutely.
So once you get these horses in as rescues and you've gotten them on the road to recovery, you've got them on a sound nutrition program, how do you work out what this horse wants to do for the rest of his life? Because a lot of times these horses don't have a job. They don't have a purpose. And studies seem to show that horses that have a purpose are much more likely to live their lives under responsible care versus the ones that are really adorable, but all they can do is stand there and look at you. So what's that process look like for 777?
We do 3-day eventing at Rosewood Stables. So we jump and we do dressage. So that is kind of the baseline that we start at. We kind of see if they would like to jump, and if they don't really seem like they like that, maybe they would be better suited as a dressage horse and doing flat work. Maybe they like trails. Maybe, you know, there's so many different directions to go in. And And we really just try everything with them, honestly. And we pay close attention to whether or not they do seem like they're enjoying the job, because that is important. If you can't force a horse to do something that they don't want to do. I mean, you can try, but ultimately it's not going to go well. You're not going to be happy. The horse is not going to be happy. So that is one of our big things here at 777 and at Rosewood Stables, is finding what the horse really does like. But I think that just goes with being open-minded and trying new things. And if something doesn't seem like it's working, try something else. And, you know, it's not, you don't have to be set in with one thing. There's a million different things to try and a million different ways to do things. So yeah, I think just being open-minded and being willing to see what the horse does enjoy and what they do really excel at.
A little bit like choosing their nutrition program. You have to take each one as an individual.
Exactly. They're all different.
there you go. So one more quick question for you, Destiny. This whole journey with Sentinel Horse Nutrition kind of started out with one of the educational programs that Sentinel does. For someone who sees these come across their social media pages, because that's usually how we find out about these things these days, what would you say to somebody who was wondering whether or not that is going to be a worthwhile hour and a half in their life? What would you tell them about going to one of those?
I do think it's worthwhile. I learned a lot. Kate and I learned a lot. And I'm going to be honest, I was not expecting to learn a lot. And I get bored pretty easily. But I was fully like, my attention was kept the whole time. And yeah, I learned a ton. And the feed has been great. And yeah, I don't know. It was not boring. It was a worthwhile hour and a half. And there's snacks. So.
And there's snacks. Well, there you go. See, we're just like our horses. If there's a cookie involved, we're much more likely to stay interested. Well, if you would like to find the Sentinel Horse Nutrition representative near you, or you would like to learn more about Sentinel Horse Nutrition feeds, you can go to feedsentinel.com/podcast. That's feedsentinel.com/podcast. And for folks who want to learn more about the great work that you do at 777 Rescue and Rehabilitation, your website is?
It is 777rescueandrehabilitation.com.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, everybody. Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.